Hey everybody, Jason Burmis here, and we're going to be talking Elon Musk, NASA, Lori Garver, Limited Hangout, and what the agency is really about, and how they are integral into this agenda of sustainability and climate change and climate credits, and ultimately into the fourth industrial revolution of world population stabilization, aka population control, and transhumanism, as well as future strategic warfare from all the way back in 2001 that is coming into fruition right now on the way to 2025. So this is going to be a jam-packed episode. And for those that are new to the broadcast, coming over from Rumble and other platforms, I want to thank you guys so much. I want to thank Mel K for giving me some more exposure. The people at Rumble have been really great to me. And of course, wouldn't be able to do this without the Rockfin as well. So you Rockfinners, including Displeased Mike, thank you guys for the support out there, because without you, I could not do this. Now, we're going to get straight into it. The links are down below if you want to support me. And remember, the documentary films are free. But you're looking at a woman named Lori Garver. And this is based in a Politico article. So Politico did an interview with this woman. She has a new quote-unquote tell-all from her time at NASA. All right. And she gets pretty high up. You know, she gets, I think, second in line at the administrative level. Her job is extremely different from who we're going to show you, who is a generational bureaucrat and a true part of the deep state system, Dennis Bushnell. So these are varying people. And the reason I say that a lot of this is limited hangout is because I believe a lot of what she's saying, and I believe she believes a lot of what she's saying. I'm sure there are certain aspects that she can't talk about. But in this piece, she essentially trashes the military-industrial complex and says a lot of the things they're telling the public are farcical, okay? And let me just go over here and show you some of the taxpayer stuff. And again, it's according to Garver, the United States still would be relying on Russia to send astronauts to space station if Nelson and Borden had their way a decade ago. So what does this mean? Charles Borden is her boss, ex-astronaut. And again, it's all about diversity. I'm not saying the guy isn't qualified, because he is part of this good old boy network. She talks about the good old boy network. And by the way, NASA is the military-industrial complex. So yes, traditionally, it's going to be dominated by men, as women have only been accepted in the last couple of decades on a mass level. Okay, and this woman's been around for a very long time. She, you know, again, Politico wants to play up the diversity and the sexism and the toxic masculinity. And, you know, she says she was called a C-bomb and an ugly business, you know, among other things. Talked about her her period, etc. That's not what I'm concerned with, okay? I'm not concerned of that type of toxic behavior within the military. I'm concerned the military-industrial complex has a blank checkbook, and we're paying for it, okay? And she says basically that we would still be relying on Russia to get up there. And now we're using quote-unquote SpaceX, which is really, again, these defense contractor stuff. Know what she never talks about? Space warfare that's going on right now. She never talks about DARPA and the Blackjack program and the ride-along program with Musk. She never mentions that Starlink is arming the Ukrainians. No. But she talks about the taxpayer-funded mega moon rocket that is years behind schedule, billions over budget, and scheduled to make its unmanned flight this summer. Well, first of all, we'll see if that happens, because rocket technology is so volatile. Guess what? It explodes all the time. So we're going to say it again here. If you think that rockets, and she is proposing this. In fact, she's talking about a lot of times, and this is where either she's buying into her own bullshit, okay, or she really believes that rockets are going to take us to the moon and Mars. And she's the one, see, she's out there because she's in this bureaucracy She doesn't understand why she can't get things done. She gets told to put her boy Elon in line, right? They portray it, for instance, like she's the one that kind of brings Musk and SpaceX into the fold. But Mint Press did that great article on Michael Griffin and the connections with the Central Intelligence Agency, because this is all military-industrial complex stuff, guys. Okay, it's all military-industrial complex stuff. It's future strategic issues in warfare. We'll get to Bushnell later. We'll show you. Look at this. Revolutions, economic trends, potential nature of farther team warfare. The bots, Borgs, and humans welcome you to 2025 AD. This is what NASA's really doing. And on top of that, they're pushing the climate change agenda because it's about sustainability and it's about moving into, I mean, look at all this, DARPA, DIA, CIA, Australian DOD, NRO, I keep going, ONI, it's all there. It tells you this is all based upon existing cases, trends, data analysis, no pixie dust, in big caps. In other words, everything we're talking about in this document's the real deal, pre-9/11 document. Pre-9/11 document, they tell you that these decisions and procurements are 15 years to produce. In other words, the technology takes about 15 plus, sometimes a little more. But then we just, you know, keep it in inventory for 40, maybe more years. That's what we do. Wow. Wow. How about that? Something we won't really talk about. And again, they talk about spaceship Earth. They talk, now this is where NASA gets into the, oh, the sky is falling. We're ruining it. And this is what legitimizes everything, right? There's constantly what? The fear that we're going to take out the planet. We're bad. And that's how, you know, global warming, population, deforestation. All of these people are Malthusians that promote this. They say too many people are doing too much stuff, eh, Ted Turner? And they're the ones causing what? Global warming. And right there in the second part of that, what is it? Oh, genomic design and repair of the human species and then mind children. Well, that's because these people are very much into bio, nanotech, transhumanism. Somehow in 2001, this man knew in 2020, the bio nano era would occur. Now, we had bio nanotechnology before 2020, but no matter what you believe it, vector-based shots and mRNA, what? That is biological nanotechnology, and the next age is the virtual age. So that's the reality. But we're going to hike it back, okay, to this article and this woman, because again, she's saying, look, this isn't happen. You know, the people don't want to be critical, and these guys want to keep the gravy train going because they're all getting military industrial complex kickbacks. I want to make it clear, okay? SpaceX and DARPA have a militarized version of Starlink. The not militarized version of Starlink is already being utilized for Sidewinder and Ghost drones to strike targets in Russia. And by the way, now Ukrainian forces, okay, intelligence forces, we already know the CIA is down there, is going into Russia. These people are hell-bent on starting World War III. Again, SpaceX is running all sorts of military cargo around the world within an hour. You know, we went over the SpaceX document. Maybe we should bring that up as well. A lot of it's blacked out. We did that last week with John Fitch on Mixed Martial Mindset. Let's see if we can do that for everybody. Let's, no. Is this it right here? Future Strategic Warfare. We're gonna make a guess at it. I don't know that I have it on here. Maybe I don't, so I guess we're not going for that one. Okay? But this is basically into that virtual age. This is a 2020 document. And guy, this guy's been around Bushnell, who we're going to go to. Okay? He's been around for generations, since Gemini, pre-Apollo. Okay? Pre-Apollo missions, guys. And, you know, China is concerned about this because they see space warfare as a reality. And again, you have to understand, we weaponize space. Okay, back in the 80s, Strategic Initiative Defense Fund. All right, so let's get back into this. And she talks about reusable rockets. You know, like, it tells us we've already paid for these things and you'll pay for them again. All right, says she was physically threatened, by the way. A lifelong politician, this is her boss, best known for his World Political Junket 1986, a taxpayer-funded flight on the space shuttle. As an astronaut, Bolden served as the mission's pilot. Many of those who disagreed with my views verbally and physically harassed and threatened me. Okay? Get Elon in line. Listen, and who knows what Musk really understands, but, you know, he talks about being an engineer. He has to realize that rockets aren't taking us to the moon and Mars. If rocket technology was doing that, other nation states would have gone, including Russia, who we were piggybacking, launching to the ISS for over a decade. And that tells you there's a whole other level to our treaties and space water. Strategic Defense Initiative, 80s. ARPA becomes DARPA during the time NASA comes into fruition. Why? Because Russia put up a satellite. Area 51. Must read by Annie Jacobson to understand this stuff. And again, they're launching these spy satellites. It's just not in the news much. NASA's about total supremacy. And that's why Google is a partnership of it. That's why there's so much censorship there. Okay, again, the face is that we're going to do all this stuff. That's the Hollyweird Johnny nonsense of it all. What it's really about, and here's Lori Garver, visualizing climate change is this same globalist agenda. And this part of the interview right here, right in the very beginning, is so telling. What is the potential and what are the limitations of visualizing climate change from space? Climate change is an anamorphous term. amorphous term, and is difficult for many people to understand how it could impact them locally. So, first of all, amorphous term. She's being honest there. Okay? Means a lot of things. So how can it affect them? Well, we already know that NASA uses all sorts of methods. I mean, you think that the photographs you've seen of Mars and Saturn, I'm talking about the planet ones, right? Out in space and the that's all bullshit. Let's see, you can go look at it. It's basically, if you want to see what they're really taking photographs of, it's like black and white blobs, at least that they're letting us know about. Okay, and then they're visualized by artists, and that's important. Data visualization from satellites is a powerful tool that can show the local effects over time. NASA is known as a trusted agency, and therefore the public is more willing to accept information from them than other less well-known government agencies. It's a PR firm, right? Beavis and Butthead do the universe, literally. So you're active, and you know, she talks about in the article how she's not conflicted and this isn't about her and business, but she's involved in these businesses too. So I would tell people to watch that Space Mania thing. Now, I thought I'd break out the old school Bushnell from 2011. It's the like 7 or 8 minute cut, and then a couple other things to show you this virtual age is real, that they talk about genomically changing the species. And what I want people to understand is they're offering false solutions to problems that don't exist, okay? Based on assumptions, once again, that human beings are bad and they need to be managed. So this is the guy, the chief scientist of NASA, that you really want to pay attention to. We're going to go from 2011 all the way up to 2018. Let's flip it. And right out of the gates, the premise is the ecosystem seems to be crashing. All right? They always give you this chicken little scenario.
The ecosystem appears to be crashing. Freshwater shortages, you people know that. That's what you hear. Species extinctions, the emergence of fragile human-engendered monoculture biomes. There's the climate change stuff, pollution of all manner, deforestation, loss of topsoil and wildlife habitat. The humans are practicing anti-terraforming, where terraforming is what you do to make the ecosystem more salubrious for humans. In fact, prevention of collapse of the ecosystem has now become the overwhelming issue. Current food production is based on freshwater plants, i.e. glycophytes. We're running out of fresh water, as you know. The code word is sustainability.
And I want you to think about that. He says code word twice in this. I'm not sure if we get it the second time, but productivity is the other one. And the productivity is ever more automation and robotization and eventually bring you into that virtual age, but you got to do that via transhumanism. And you talk about human brain interfaces. And we've actually, that is something that we can bring up. And this is the RAND Corporation, not just that document right here from 2020 about disruptive technologies, Hans Moravec, where we're moving, but that is something we'll bring up. This is the RAND Corporation right now. Brain computer interfaces, U.S. military applications, implications. Anybody can read this. It's quite striking, and it gets into technology that is well beyond Elon Musk and Neuralink. So Elon Musk is really a front for so much of this stuff, right? SpaceX, you know, they're not talking about the space warfare. They're really not talking about the Ukrainian stuff when they discuss this with Musk, right? Even though he says he'll coup who we want to coup. But he's also pushing the DARPA brain interface technology, right? So that's what he is. He's a contractor. He's a military industrial complex frontman. This is a really interesting read, by the way. Only about 45 pages. I'd encourage people to check it out. We've done videos on it. Let's keep going with Bushnell. Because again, code word is sustainability. And that means whenever they tell you something sustainable, that means you're bad. Your standard of living is going down. Okay. And Elon Musk pushing the sustainable home. It's all about sustainability. You need to lower your standard of life.
Crashing of the ecosystem is due to population growth and the way we're now living, our standard of living. The estimates vary between 30 and 50% of a planet that we're currently short to sustain the standard of living and the current population, much less the population growth.
And that's a decade ago because they're already telling you, oh, wow, this, you know, we're bad. We're killing the planet. Your standard of living is going to plummet.
As the Asians and their billions come up as they are at 9 to 11% growth rate to Western standards of living, we're going to be short three more planets, and they're not readily available. This will result in peak everything. This will result in standards of living plunging. There's a partial solution to this.
And by the way, this isn't a partial solution. He's actually done, and that's the thing. With the available technology that they're allowing the people to see, right? Not the stuff that's inventoried. He talks about halophytes and saltwater plants. That's what this really is. And talking about using desert land that's not being utilized and it can actually feed everybody. It would be all the fossil fuels and it would save the fresh water so that could be utilized elsewhere. But they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. Okay, they want to convince you you're bad and your standard of living has to plunge, even though humanity is a tiny speck on this glorious blue marble.
And that is to switch to halophyte salt plants grown on wastelands and deserts using saline salt water. 22 nations are doing this. This literally solves, as I'll get into, land, water, food, which is the halophytes. You can grow just on a goodly portion of the Sahara sufficient biomass to replace all the fossil carbon fuels, to provide petrochemical feedstock for all the plastics anybody wants, and grow enough food so everybody gets to eat, and return some of the 68 to 70% of the fresh water that's now used for conventional agriculture, as advertised, solves land, water, food, energy, and climate.
Sounds great. You mean we don't have to eat bugs like Klaus said for protein? Grow vegetables and stuff? Great. You don't hear a lot about that. You also don't hear about, because they demonize carbon, you know, a life force on Earth, carbon dioxide. You don't hear about how that got converted into energy sources like methanol, okay? And there may be problems with those things, but they chose carbon and your carbon footprint because it is about you and your standard of living, all right? The predator class isn't going to stop using their private jets. The predator class isn't going to stop yachting. You get it? You understand that? It's you. It's me.
So this is Malthus 101. These innate ecosystem restrictions and shortfalls will necessarily shift world econometrics from a growth mantra to one of sustainability with possible population control instigated along the way.
Isn't that great? Population control instigated along the way, Malthus 101. Who's going to instigate that population control, Dennis? Is it going to be me? Is it going to be my audience? Or is it going to be the military-industrial complex who is puppeteered by those at the top? Is it going to be the pharmaceutical agencies, Dennis? I mean, I know that I don't have the power to instigate population control. Weird.
It changes everything.
Oh, it changes everything. And you know what? That's also in here. So this is the guy kind of has a script that he's allowed to talk about, at least in these forums of investors and other rich people. Now, let's type in, what is it? Population stabilization. I think stabilization is what they use here. Let's go with stab. Stabilization of the world population. All right. And this basically changes everything. See, it's right here. Demise of the U.S. underclasses. Really? Huh. And they always put it that way, but the haves and the have-nots get equaled out. See, equalization of the haves and the have-nots. So everybody lives the same shitty lifestyle that we decide. Altered political military outlooks worldwide. Huh. Wow. Why? Because they're bringing in the robots. They're bringing in the automation. This guy is a universal basic income guy. And they want to push the idea that what? Oh, you can upload your consciousness. Really? Really? And before that, they're going to have you. But what do you think all this 150 genders is? What do you think non-binary was? Zeros and ones. They want you to believe that you are soulless. You get it? That you're nothing more than a computer program written. Your consciousness isn't real. You're not a human being. Hell, you can envision yourself as a dog-faced pony soldier. You can become that. We'll make it a gender. Let's continue with Dennis. Thumbs it up, subscribe, and share, by the way. And if you're rumbling, rumble it up. Let's follow me on Rumble. Let's get this channel out there. And if you're rockfinning, I want to thank you so much for the support over there and for the tipskies and hutch.
After the recent economic burp, people want to see the growth business reinstituted. It's not
going to happen.
The final last resort solution is instead of raising the bridge, we lower the river. Genomically modify the biota, including us humans, to take the heat.
So right there, he's just saying, we're going to genomically change whatever we want on the planet to take the heat. But I mean, these people are wild. Wild.
We have ongoing studies of extremophiles, biologics in deep ocean vents and deserts and the Yellowstone pools, plus the ongoing biorevolutions, genomics and synthetic biology that proffers a very real possibility of designer life forms, including humanoids, capable of thriving in whatever mess we make of the planet. Okay.
It's funny. See that? It's funny. Ha 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 ha. Except for it's not funny. Direct and undetectable binary. Let me get that out of there. In other words, they can do whatever they want. You get it? Hormones. Regulators. Oh, hormones. Viruses. Prions. Parasites. They could be short to long-term scales. Fatal to disabling. This is some document from 2001, huh? Pretty crazy. I mean, it's right there. They remind you of anything? Weird. Silly me. Let's play some more Bushnell.
The other time scale here is that we had looked at what it would take to terraform Mars, and it would take about 120 years. There's enough water under the poles on Mars, under the frozen...
And I think it's, again, we're talking ridiculous, because I have Bushnell talking about Mars... basically that the robots are going there, that they're going to send the nanobots and then the robots, and then they're going to send the information back. And when we're living in these virtual metaverse, I don't even want to call them societies, you know, false realities, then we're going to make another false reality that's based on whatever data they bring back. And that's if you believe that nanobots are going to Mars.
CO2. to put an ocean on Mars, a reasonable depth ocean, not that deep, but reasonable depth. And so we could then put stuff in this ocean, at least we would have some kind of an atmosphere to beneath spray ourselves up. In terms of employment, just as an example, we are at a jobless economic recovery. There's about 7 million jobs missing. Some of them were globalized and offshore, about a third. The rest of them are gone. The code word is productivity improvement, which is a code word for ever better automation and robotization.
See that? The code word is productivity, but we're going to automate you out of society. And I've looked at the data he's going to tell you, and guess what? There aren't any jobs the robots can't do. And right now they're starting to bring that into society. You're seeing it. Telehealth, okay? Telemedicine. You have the blockchain technologies coming in. You have AI being used everywhere now. Deepfakes are becoming commercially available. That's step one. Neuralink being pushed by Musk, and he'll actually talk about Musk, and he'll even talk a little bit about the space warfare and Musk's kind of. He'll talk about the satellite program, just so you know I'm not fictionalizing any of that. I mean, listen to this guy.
If you look at the way the robots are going, human level machine intelligence from the IBM Blue Brain Project is now about 10 to 15 years up. Via biomimetics, where they've nanosectioned the neocortex and they're replicating in silicon, okay? And they're having great success in all of this. So this is not soft computing, this is via biomimetics. We have looked 20, 30 years out with the way robotics and automation. And
by the way, that's 2030, 2040.
Machine intelligence is going, and what jobs the machines cannot do? The answer is none. We thought we need human touch labor in nursing homes for a while, but the Japanese 2 years ago put robots in nursing homes and patients like them much better than the humans.
Hilarious. Hilarious. And again, during the COVID-1984 nightmare, remember when you couldn't go visit your family or your loved one even if they were dying? Don't worry. The robot's there. Remember, robots follow programming. There are no nuances. In another pandemic from hell, you won't have certain doctors being able to prescribe certain things or to speak out. Why? Because they're programmed. When you're watching TV, we don't know whether that's a person or not. Why? Because it's AI. I haven't watched, you know, the new season of Westworld just started. But I would tell people that if you want to see a vision into their nightmare future of robotics, automation, AI, and really mind control, then you need to see not only seasons one and two, but when they step out of the park in season three. I'm kind of excited, and maybe I'll check out the beginning of season four tonight.
The machines are creating wealth within the structures of the ecosystem capability. The machines are reducing costs, okay, producing wealth, but the humans increasingly can't compete. I have a friend, Steve Thaler, who has developed an imagination machine, okay, which is a neural net which he trains and deprives of all rational input, and this neural net sits there and dreams like people dream, producing new ideas 24/7, 365 on milliwatts, and he has a critic neural net sitting in the weeds recording all of these new ideas and checking them out for various problems and metrics. This thing has produced better toothpaste for Palmolive, it has produced better warheads for the Air Force, and it produces far more ideas, far faster and cheaper than buildings full of people, okay? So along with all of the other jobs which the machines are, and you know, I've got charts on this, okay? I have tracked which jobs, which have gone, which ones have come in. There's a magnificent book on this called Martin Ford. It's called Lights in the Tunnel. Okay? And if you can sleep well after reading that book, okay, then you're not quite as sensitive as maybe I thought you were.
He just thinks that's hilarious. This whole thing is, I'm not going to be around.
I mean, what people will do all day is not clear.
Oh.
What we're doing with these, and this is only one of the seven, okay, is that the machines are taking the jobs, and the humans increasingly can't compete. We're also becoming cyborgs, okay? We have cochlear implants, artificial retinas, artificial hearts, direct brain to prosthetic limb communication, and brain chips. We put brain chips into about 10,000 people. It affects congenitally defective brains. Doctors working on brain chips are super soldiers. 15, 20 years out, if you don't have the latest chip in, you can't compete, particularly with the machines. Okay?
So that is, again, in 2011, that would be 2031 at the latest is what he's saying, and 2026 if you don't have the latest brain chip. Now, he says 10,000 people already have them. And now, remember, a robot kiosk from Elon Musk, same guy that's bringing AI in, right, and the Optimus bot, just all these things. That this is what NASA's really about, folks. Are we starting to get it? So let's see where that goes in 2018. This is him at the fire, I think it's called fire. Let's see what we got here.
Humans are now becoming cyborgs. We have cochlear implants to hear, artificial retinas to see, artificial hearts to live, artificial limbs to move, artificial organs to function, and brain chips.
And you see how he's kind of got this speech, but as it goes, and he was really fast when he said it last time. Here's where he lets you know. Oh, just a couple hundred thousand. This is 4 years ago.
There's a couple hundred thousand people wandering around with brain chips now. Affects congenitally defective brains, and increasingly it affects memory and other things. DARPA's working on brain chips for super soldiers. And people are now working, thanks to Musk and other people, funding on direct machine-brain communications. It's not us versus them, us versus the machines. We're merging. And this is the human evolution of the humans.
Because all of evolution is over. We've taken control. We're just going to genomically. You saw that part of the document, right? Everybody saw the biohacking. And I mean, it's right here again. We're going to do what we want. Viruses, prions, parasites, carcinogens, toxins, hormones, regulates. I mean, this is it. Fingerprintless, undetectable, binaries. Scary. We're taking control of the human species. We might instigate population control. Wow. How about all that? Elon Musk is helping with our human brain interfaces.
There is no more natural evolution of anything. People are convinced that the human evolution of everything is 10 million times faster than any natural evolution. And so this is just part of the human evolution of the humans, which will apply in a little bit when I talk about something else.
And now we're going to get to, again, I wasn't making things up when I said, look, this woman's telling you about a new space age and all that other stuff. These are military industrial contractors. Okay, they're using technology you can't imagine for space warfare. Mandrake 2 satellites being deployed by Musk. And when she says, Musk is trying to do this with these rockets. Look, if you think that we're going to have reusable rockets to go to the moon and back, not with rocket technology. I'm going to say it again. Not with rocket technology. Just not reality, man. It's Johnny nonsense. You need other types of propulsion. And the real question is, what types of propulsion are they using via space warfare, even in these miniaturized situations? I want to talk about, in that document, they talk about not only blast wave accelerators, right? But nanosats. Okay, and I want to show people nanosatellites, like these type of devices. All right, this is the stuff they're showing us. Okay, this is what they're showing us. Little box type objects. Now, this person starts referring to what the Russians have and weaponized satellites.
Is the Russian satellites that are moving in unknown and unusual paths. In other words, satellites are no longer just satellites, but now they are moving around in unknown and unexplained patterns. Can you comment on that and the evolution you see of satellites with that similar technology?
And the second one is the Russians apparently have satellites up there that not described. They're moving in strange ways, and they may not be normal satellites. Maybe doing something different. So what's
pretty happy with that smile? Oh yeah, no, that's something I'm not going to be able to talk about. You see, that's part of the classified program.
What's that all about?
No comment.
Oh, come on now.
No.
Killer satellites? Are they? No. Okay. All right.
Sorry, Ty.
No. What he didn't tell you is I'm the NASA rep to the National Intelligence Council.
See, he's the real bureaucrat. He can't talk about those things. He's telling you we're taking over evolution. We're merging with the machines. And now I'm going to show you what he talks about with the virtual era. Okay, the virtual era. And basically how we're going to upload to the machines. And at the end of the day, at best, we could end up with human contaminated machines.
The machines are capable of really good. The current process of the top we know job will be essentially no jobs the machines cannot do. We currently have creative software that are doing ideation just as good or better than humans now. The creative jobs will be the last ones to go, but I have not been able to discern any jobs the machines cannot do as machine intelligence and all the rest of the autonomous robotics develops. So now we're to your question, okay? What do you do with these people?
First of all, they start with the UBI. Which should make, again, universal basic income, you start feeling worthless. And it makes it harder for people who are still individuals and hard workers to be that and compete. And you're basically degrading society during automation and robotics coming in. So what do you do with the people? Oh, we'll end up merging with the machines. Now, he gives three different scenarios, including DIY, do-it-yourself on steroids, and, you know, these parallel civilizations. And look, in order for humanity to exist, we're going to have these because these people are pushing forward with their agenda.
There's essentially three options. You've covered one, which is the guaranteed income. And the machines can produce the productivity, the wealth necessary to pay this. It's just the machines do the work instead of the people. Yes, you have to change the cultural milieu, but this is eventually doable. This is only one approach. The second approach is the fact that what's changed since you last looked at this is the whole technology level, and we humans are now converting ourselves into cyborgs. We now have artificial retinas, artificial hearts, we have brain chips. DARPA's working on brain chips for super soldiers. We can have a high bandwidth COM port built in, so we don't have to use the sensors and they're very limited bandwidth. And eventually this all ends up with uploading into the machines.
Uploading, that's the virtual age. One more time, everybody. You want to talk about this? Talk about it with the facts. Read this man's documentation where he goes into great lengths to let you know about this. Holodeck VR. And by the way, that's being pushed by the World Economic Forum. When you're talking about the metaverse stuff and getting your digital identity, it's all getting you used to this stuff, right? And we think headsets and haptic suits. Listen, they're showing you now publicly that this VR can use haptic sound waves to give you the pressure. Covered that on the broadcast. A lot of people don't know this stuff. You know why? Because we're banned on YouTube all the time, including right now. So let's let them finish it up. Let's let them tell you how we're going to upload it into the machines. And at the end of the day, the best we can hope for is maybe human-contaminated machines.
And instead of us versus them, humans versus the machines, we become them, or they become us, or you end up with human-contaminated machines.
Human-contaminated machines. This is about transhumanism. This is about the military-industrial complex. This is about the fourth industrial revolution. We have to come to terms with that if we're going to fight. It goes beyond left and right, Republican or Democrat. Again, there's a reason that woman's out there pushing this and her memoir is getting notice. There's a reason that they push the climate change agenda. And there's a reason that YouTube won't let me grow and is constantly trying to kick me off. So I think it's a few more days until we come back to there. I do want to say that you can find all my uncensored stuff if you're new over at The Rockfin. I want to thank everybody who supported me there, has a premium membership, $9.99 a month or $99.99 for the year. You endorse Jason Burmis. You get all sorts of other great creators, including Jay Dyer, The Convo Couch, Morning Wake Up, or I'm sorry, AM Wake Up, and more. We're also in audio format over at Podbean, and you can also get the video stuff there as well. We're rumbling right now. If you're not on the Rumble, we got 2,500 subscribers. We need more. Come on down. We need you now. Let's blow it up on the Rumble. Let's start competing with YouTube on top of it. And if you really like the broadcast, you can buy me a coffee, $5, $10, $15. It means the world to me. But at the very least, please check out all of my documentary films, which are free and readily available via many platforms. If you don't understand what really happened on 9/11, Loose Change, Final Cut, and Fabled Enemies, they're going to blow your mind. And they're going to let you know what the real deep state military industrial complex is. And then if you're not sure what this whole New World Order thing is or Great Reset thing is about, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined is going to give you the backdrop, the historical references of globalization on the march to this thing. And then Shade the Motion Picture is going to blow the lid off and let you know where we are today because of the modus operandi. I love you guys. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you all on the flip side.